Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, a leading provider of workforce planning and analytics solutions so powerful they should wear tights and a cape. We enable and streamline organizational charting, succession planning, workforce modeling, and strategic workforce initiatives. Visit Acquire CEO Lois Melbourne's blog at blog.acquire.com for her enlightening insight into current HR industry issues by way of Star Trek, The Fonz, and Ebenezer Scrooge.
We're back! HR Happy Hour! Just under the wire, with 5 seconds to spare, we managed to get connected, get the show started. I had no doubts. I was not nervous at all. Really, one did. I was calm. Yeah, I did. So we're back, HR Happy Hour, live from HR Southwest, day number 2. Broadcasting to you live from the Fort Worth Convention Center. When I was told yesterday from a real Texan, though, that Fort Worth really is Texas, and other cities in Texas like Austin or Houston, they're not really Texas. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's been great in Texas for the last few days, I think, I have to say. So really pleased to be back at HR Southwest doing the HR Happy Hour again. Some of our friends are assembled in the room with us. China Gorman is here. Franny Oxford is here. Mark Stelzner is here. Chris Ponder is here. Trish McFarland. Jason Seiden manning the board in the background there. So a couple of friends have just walked in as well. Jessica Miller-Merrill. I always want to say your name wrong. I want to just confuse the dashes.
It confuses me too. Don't worry.
You ever sign it the wrong way, Jessica?
I think probably initially when I decided to go hyphenated, maybe. But.
And William Pincup's walked in. So, guys, I will ask you if you want to get involved in the show today, and I hope you all do. You're all welcome to. Just scooch down a bit, get a little closer to our phone, and William, Franny, just come around. So, anyway, HR Happy Hour, we're back day 2. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. We're streaming live worldwide on the Internet. From our conference room to your computer, so we're really pleased to be here. It's been a great conference so far. It's winding down now. We've had a lot of fun. So today we're meant to talk about doing more with less was the idea for the show, and we can talk about that certainly, or we can talk about whatever y'all want really about the event itself and what's going on, how lunch is. A lot of folks at the table eating. I'm good over here. I'll just have a tea or something.
Do you want a slice of Trish's cake? I'll just pull it down.
There's cake over there. It's
welcome for the tea.
It's fantastic. So this is episode number 70, I believe, right, on HR Happy Hour. So we're slowly working our way to a larger number than 70. We'll get there. And so that's great. So we put a lot of thought and effort into the show, as you can tell. And let's get on to it. Let's talk about doing more with less. You know, Mark and I, Stelzer and I, kicked around this idea a little bit before the show. And here's a question. I pre-warned a couple of the folks at the table. I'm going to ask this question. Is, you know, every event we've gone to, every speech, presentation, article, talks, they all kind of say the same thing. We're all overwhelmed. We're all so busy. We're overwhelmed with the day-to-day to the grind. You know, everybody's is working so hard. But yet there's 10% unemployment in the United States. So everybody's got too much to do, yet we can't hire anybody. Now, I know it's not anyone's fault in this room, necessarily.
Jason.
But I will say this.
I'll step up. I'll order it.
I will say this. If a terrible accident should befall him, if he should get hit by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. No one got that reference?
No.
Ah. Horrible. Godfather. Godfather.
You know it's in the delivery.
Yeah.
You're talking to
me. Trying to do the Brando voice?
Yeah. Because I mean, I'm listening. It just didn't sound right.
Didn't sound right at all?
No.
All right. Sorry. That was bad. So.
I'm going to blame you.
Yeah. If he should get hit by a bolt of lightning.
I'm going to blame some. Yeah, right. It's just something.
I'm going to blame some of the people in this room.
There you go. That's better.
So I'm blaming some of the people in this room for 10% unemployment.
Will you do the rest of the show?
I have not been able to watch The Godfather because I'm doing too much.
You do the show in Brando?
The whole show?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we get somebody to do Walken. Can you do Christopher Walken?
I can.
All right, so, Ting, and then...
Forget about it.
Yeah, you really do.
More cowbell, right? That's what the show needs.
And obviously, we're doing more with less.
Right. We have no topic, no structure, and very unprepared hosts.
Like everybody else. I just make gold records.
So why are we so busy? Why are we so busy, but yet there's millions of people not working?
I'd rather talk about movie lines, frankly.
Take it.
That was rhetorical. Habit. I'm gonna go with habit. I'm gonna go with habit based on an experience that Trish and I just had in the session that you were in, Steve. And
great
and
session.
Some of the others were in there too. We did not use PowerPoint slides. We had a conversation. We were talking about social media. We wanted the session to reflect social media. We wanted to have that sense of ambiguity, that fluidity. So we dispensed with our slides. And we could see in the discussion there were distinct points in time where we lost people. And I don't think it was always a question of they couldn't follow what I was saying because I'm a moron, you know, going off on tangents, which is also true. But I think at times it was just difficult for them to process that this is different. And I think same is true with the economy. The one thing has nothing to do with the other. So I'll leave somebody, you know, there's probably a lot of macro reasons for it, but I think people have just ratcheted up to a level of busy. And they are comfortable with a level of complaining, and that doesn't die easily.
I'm not sure there's a. We hear a complaint, but when you, I'm anxiously awaiting the third quarter productivity numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But when you look at first quarter, you know, when the economy goes in the dumper, it looks like productivity increases, right? Because we lay lots of people off, and so, but the work stays the same, and so individual worker productivity goes up. And in a recession, worker productivity is generally like, you know, in the high 2s to low 2%, right? So in the first quarter of this year, it was almost 4%, which is kind of huge. Actually, they reported it, I think it was 3.4, and then they re-reported that it was closer to 4. And in the second quarter, it was negative almost 3%. So in a one quarter swing, productivity moved almost 7 points. What I think that says is from a emotional, productive, physical kind of perspective, American workers hit the wall in the second quarter of this year and said, you know, sort of threw up their hands and said, no mas. You know, I can't do any more. Don't ask me to do more overtime. I'm looking for a new job to get the hell out of here. And I think we're seeing that in the productivity numbers. It's going to be fascinating to see what the third quarter productivity numbers are. Did they go even lower?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could make a case based on the whining and the sort of the grumbling that maybe they do go lower. Or there have been some, you know, trickles in employment. There have been some trickles in the economy. You know, maybe it's going to improve a little bit. But I think, you know, we can ignore the macro, which I don't think probably is a wise thing to do, or we can blame it all on Obamacare.
Well, so when we hit the breaking point, then what happens? Let's forget the macro level, right? Because none of us here can really solve the macro issues. But you're a leader in an organization, and you feel like you've been stressed, you've let people go, you're still pushing content and pushing product out the door, whatever it is you're doing, and you feel like you're sensing that breaking point being hit in your organization. So what do you do? What can you do?
Well, it's your point, you know, the doing more with less. I think there are lots of things that HR folks and organizations are doing now that don't cost a lot of money that are ratcheting up the relationship between the employer and their employees and between the employer and their customers. Let me back up. The smart ones are the really strategic ones are focused on increasing the relationship, improving the relationship between the organization and their customers by bettering the relationship between the employer and their employees.
I think as a leader, you help people prioritize. So the idea that you could do everything that we asked you to do last year or last quarter is probably a silly construct. We should probably help you. We should assist you in prioritizing what is really, truly core or and or important to the organization, and what's not gets left undone. And I think it's actually a great exercise for us all. If you know, we all have to-do lists, we all have these things that about 6 months ago I went to a strategy that if something stayed on my to-do list for more than a week, I just deleted it. I actually just said, yeah, I've told myself on some level that's not important, and thus I'm just not going to get to it.
Yeah. Now, I'll just play devil's advocate with you, William. So you can do that. You're making those decisions consciously as an individual, as an entrepreneur,
right.
Perhaps, right? I'm a worker bee in my cube. I don't maybe have that kind of power to personally elect, okay, what can I just didn't get to it. I'm not going to do it. So what do I do?
I don't know if the employee doesn't have that power, quite frankly. I think what was the thing that we all looked at 1.97% of all people out there would actually look at a new job. I think companies need to empower employees to then prioritize. I think employees have more power than they probably give themselves credit. And, oh, by the way, they're just not going to do it. So whether or not they consciously or subconsciously, they're just not going to get to the work. They're just going to let it be undone.
I don't think companies are going to realize that until they have a mass exodus of people that have consciously made that decision. And those are the people a year from now that are going to be freaking out. They'll be calling on somebody to fix the problem. And the damage is already done, right? I don't think a lot of people are at that point. I mean, we're talking about it, but we're in the minority.
I'm not sure that point's ever going to come. You know, I don't think there's ever this date when everybody stands up and goes, okay, on the count of three, leave your job. But it comes and goes in spurts. It's going to be messy. People who sit. So it'll be trends that we can see in hindsight.
Yeah,
but everybody wants to, you know, would you look at a new job if one came along? Yes. Healthcare. Do you keep your job for the healthcare? Yes. Do you see any opportunities that are viable that give you what you want in a job and will allow you to continue your healthcare? Not so much. Right. So what people intend to do and what they'll put up with, very different questions.
Let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour live from the HR Southwest Conference, day two. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. We are talking about work, too much of it, inability to maybe make changes due to the crap economy. Obamacare got mixed into the mix. I'd love to talk about that. I don't know anything about that, but I'm happy to talk about Obamacare.
Correct.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm happy to talk about it. Just like all the other people in America.
You know, I was talking to someone a little earlier today about, you know, they said, what's coming up on the show in the next, you know, several weeks? And I said the same kind of thing that I always say, oh, we've got some great shows coming up, you know. I thought, we ought to break out of it once in a while. We ought to do, like, a politics show or a religion show even. You know, I'm looking at you, Jason. I'd love, you know, we could get into that game sometime and we can't alienate. So.
But I mean, speaking of healthcare, I think if people had a viable alternative to their employer, they would bolt in numbers. They would. Companies don't want as many full-time employees as they used to. We held a consortium several months ago in San Jose. There were about 1.5 million employees, if you will, represented in the room. The average organization had roughly a 20% uplift in contingent workers. Their intention is to go to 40 to 50%. They don't want to have to go through, in the future, what they went through in the last 2 years. They would rather dynamically assemble talent based on specific project-based needs. They don't want to pay the 1.6 to 1.9 multiple for a fully burdened FTE. So what this means is we're about to enter this new free agent nation. And a lot of people will never go back to sustainable, paternalistic organizations. Ever, ever again. Whether out of necessity or design is almost irrelevant. But I'll tell you, a lot of people I talk to say, if it wasn't for healthcare, the moment I have the choice, the moment I have the option, I would leave my organization today.
Well, and so you get McDonald's saying, so we can't afford health care for our, you know, thousands and thousands of employees, and government, unless you give us a waiver, they're going into the public system. And so the administration case gives them all a waiver, along with 12 or 13 other really large employers. So saved, you know, saved by a stroke of the administration's pen right now, but just, you know, think about the impact of that.
You know, and I think also if that's true, Mark, and I have no reason to think that's not true.
Because I said it with confidence. Yeah.
You have that deep voice.
Yeah.
The only thing that works better than the deep voice to be convincing is the phony British accent.
Right.
Because that can...
I'd like to add a point to that. Which is the analog to the... Okay, right. So... Healthcare is a big element to that, and I think the other thing that's happening, we've got changes to labor law coming that are being threatened to be made through legislative processes, through rulemaking as opposed to actual voting. So it'll be very interesting to see how that trend plays out, because now you've got a workforce they're not going to know what's up. I mean, that'll be a huge reason for companies to say, let's expedite this move to the contingent workforce even faster. And it'll be damn the torpedoes on one side or the other.
But if we talk about HR is a lagging indicator of the economy. HR gets hit, they fire themselves, and then they grow later, right? HR won't recover as quickly as other corporate functions will. We're not a profit center. But I'll tell you, I'll go back to healthcare. The average, I think Hackett data shows that the average HR department has anywhere between $1,300 and $1,800 per employee per year in discretionary spend. The healthcare spend is $7,200 to $10,000 per employee.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a 5X budget allocation for purely healthcare for your employee population. To your earlier point, Steve, if you could pour that back into hiring more FTEs, more professionals, to focus on everything else HR has on their plate, instead we're spending a disproportionate share, 80%, 80 cents on the dollar on healthcare. So if you talk about doing more with less, organizations, to China's point, are reasonably saying, why are we in the business of providing healthcare, and should we cut? Should we throw them into the system? So I think that's a reasonable concern.
Yeah. I think also you mentioned the contingent workforce.
Right.
The contingent workforce rebuild in the economy has always previously been a leading indicator of economic recovery, but to the point that you are making, and some recent data that I got to hear about, in fact, it's probably not going to be so much of a leading indicator of economic recovery as it relates to job creation, because these are the new jobs,
right? Yeah.
They're not going to be.
We won't see the jobs.
We won't see
right.
the jumps, the usual jump from contingent workforce to full-time hiring. We're just going to see ongoing contingent hiring.
Is there a great source that you all know of for contingent numbers, for contingent jobs that are created? Do you all know a great source?
The info that I was referring to was from Master Burnett at
Associates.
He's got some amazing kind of data, and the conclusions that he's drawing are really...
Well, do y'all believe that jobs are being created? They're just being created differently right now? Do y'all, just in the room, do you believe that jobs are being created, or do you believe that contingent groups are being created and just not calculated?
I think projects are being created.
I think that's true.
And I will say that I think what's going to happen is that you'll have somebody who maybe chooses to leave their job. They find out how much COBRA is, or life without COBRA, because we've looked at that possibility. And I think you'll see a lot of people in that 18-month span that are going to go back into workforce for 90 days or 6 months, get their insurance, and then they're going to leave again. If we don't do something about that, because that, if it was me, that's the decision that I would
do. So, like, sort of insurance hopping, right?
I think we should term the new.
And if there's employers listening, Jessica Merrill Miller, she's in it for 60 to 90 days.
Short term, baby. Short term.
It's all about the COBRA.
But I think to William's point, HR doesn't own these people. HR doesn't own the data. Procurement.
Yep.
Or the line of business. You're either looking at...
I'm in charge of all my independent contractors.
All your independent contractors?
Yeah, it has crippled the number of independent contractors.
Okay.
Yeah, so I work for... This is Franny. I work for a consulting company. I took a look around. We really couldn't afford to hire the high level of expertise that we need full-time. So we used LinkedIn and a couple of other resources and brought in a bunch of people who, frankly, don't want to come to an office for 12 hours a day. they're semi-retired, or they're parents, or they're, a lot of them are working moms, and they want to work when they want to work, and they want to work on particular projects that interest them. So a big part of my job now is to increase our company's revenues for the use of those independent contractors, which in terms of HR is great because then I have immediate impact on the bottom line of the company.
So the idea of row is not valid because all we're going to do is hire you in that results-oriented work environment. And I've heard Callie and Jody speak a couple times, and I have used row. But if you have your contingent workforce that's project-based, it doesn't really matter. Row doesn't matter.
Well, it has actually reinforced our company culture, which is a results-oriented workplace. So there, we have to make really sure that we're not offering those independent contractors any, obviously, anything that looks like employment, but at the same time, we don't want our employees to think they've got it better than I do.
Well, I, you know, so, you're hinting at something I was going to ask about more.
Because sometimes we really do need full-time.
I wanted to ask about more generally in this context of, well, we're going to ramp up contingent workers and consultants. Does that present a new set of managerial challenges that we're not really ready to handle?
No,
right,
makes
now
them go away. We're alleviating. We're not creating. What are we talking about?
We spent years and years saying we can't manage, we can't lead, and that's in sort of the normal, you know, let's hire people and bring them in and lead them into the right place.
Think about
now you're bringing in a whole other set of people that have come in with a different set of circumstances.
10 years ago, I worked a lot with a defense contractor. That defense contractor had fuzzy boundaries. They had contingent workforce. They had co-located facilities where they had their customer and their people and their vendors. They were dealing with these issues 10 years ago.
Mm.
This person's annoyed because they're doing exactly the same job as this person, but they're badged through the government, and so they're getting a fraction of the salary. And this person gets to leave is on a 4x80 work week because he works for subcontractor X, and this one, you know, can't even get a BlackBerry because he's not trusted. They've had it. So guess what? Far more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, HR is not ready for contingent, or at least doesn't have the traditional skills to deal with contingent, because everything that we teach, leadership, succession, performance, all of those things, they're all going to be slightly skewed with contingent.
More project management approach.
And who gets pizza on Friday?
Culture.
Right? I mean, is it the contingent? Like, it's got to be for everybody. I mean, let's talk about what's important in HR.
And you can't invite them to the company meetings and this and that. Like, there's just stuff like that
we'll
that you have to be aware of.
Even, I mean,
right,
the traditional policy
that
stack.
That sounds like a blog
right
post, Granny, for
yeah
you to talk about. I think there's a lot of HR people who are screwing up in that arena.
They're just not
not aware.
We just don't have the skills to probably deal with some of the changes that are inevitable.
Hey, let's bring on our first caller to the show. I'm sure we've raise some interesting questions out there. Area code 386, you're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey, Steve. Hey, gang. It's Howard Tarnoff. How are you?
Howard, how are you?
Hey, I'm really good. Did I hear Tin Cup there?
William Tin Cup is here.
Hey, cool. How you doing?
Howard, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm excellent. It's a beautiful day in Florida, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to arrange my schedule to get down there. Hey, you know, a couple of things that you guys have been talking about around contingent virtual workforces. I mean, what are you hearing around compliance and how to really defend against these employee populations who could very easily be classified as non-contingent based upon the work they're doing and how they're scheduled? We're seeing a lot of requests around scheduling, not only for having the right people doing the right work, but also for scheduling tools to help employers ensure that they are in compliance and there is no question about, are these people really full-time or are these people really even considered employees rather than contractors? Just wondering what you guys are hearing about that.
Franny, do you have to deal with that at all?
Yeah, it's Franny, and I honestly haven't had any complaints in this area because, frankly, the people who are choosing to be independent contractors. But that said, of course, what you're going to want to do is follow the Department of Labor guidelines, and the Department of Labor really is looking at that much more these days. But you're just going to want to make sure that they're following the Department of Labor guidelines in terms of not treating them as a regular employee in any way, making sure that you're not in any way telling them how they have to do their job, making sure they're supplying their own tools and resources, and of course, encouraging them to work elsewhere when they're not working with you.
Like,
I get that a lot anyway. Just, you know.
Me too.
I'm not even contingent.
Not yet.
So we're encouraging you to go work somewhere else.
And if you were really nervous about it, of course, you could have them set up, you know, if there was a group of them, you would have them set themselves up as some kind of LLC or some kind of corporation and then subcontract that corporation in. But honestly, most of my people are certainly not going to do that. They're working off their dining room table.
So what drives sort of those regulatory things? Does the regulation sort of drive the employer's reaction, or does it ever go the other way around? Like, well, we see if more and more people want to be – more organizations want to hire contingents. They want to use contract labor. They want to do project-based work. Will we ever see sort of a commensurate reaction from our sort of legislative bodies to make that easier on organizations, or will it ever?
No, because they're not paying payroll taxes.
Yeah, it's not too
young. So it won't.
Yeah.
Never happen.
They don't have any clue.
What's the government clues in?
So, hey guys, I was right. I just wanted to say that we're seeing a lot of requests where employers aren't going to restaff until there's a great degree of certainty in the economy. They're working with a lot more contingent workforces, and we're asked, you know, to apply our technologies to help them be in compliance while they're utilizing the workforce, so that they're not going to be scrutinized by Fair Labor Standards Acts and have to prove compliance.
I mean, I think it's really cool that those employers are thinking ahead like that, and if you have a product or service that can help them do that thinking, great.
All right. You guys have a great event. I heard there was cake down there, so I'm
cake not for
really
everyone,
jealous.
Howard, apparently. Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
The full-time staff has cake. The contingent workers have
all right.
They're supplying their own cake.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's do a quick reset. HR Happy Hour, live from HR Southwest. You know, I love it. Politics, regulations, government, Obamacare.
And cake.
So,
one of these things is not like the other.
Very Marie Antoinette in here.
64. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086 on Twitter, HR Happy Hour, although I must say I am not looking at the Twitter stream such as it might be. So if there's anything out there of note, someone in the room can shout it out as well. So. Boy, I'm a little depressed after hearing the first half hour of the show.
What we're saying is people are choosing the way that they work.
Yeah.
Are they?
Are we
helping people to make that choice? Let's say a lot of people are not ready to make that choice. Much as we learned, lots of people today aren't ready for change in whatever form it comes in. Are people getting left behind?
Anytime there's change, people are left behind, most often because they choose to be left behind. So, yeah, sure. They are staying, the boat is sailing, and they're waving at us from the dock. Or they've already walked off.
Years ago when companies had loyalty to employees, and employees had loyalty to the company, all that was busted up with free agency. Free agency in sports and then free agency in the workplace. I think contingent workforce is a better way for a lot of companies to actually work because it creates a burstable workforce where they can get big when they need to get big, but they can also contract when they need to contract. It can be natural, and it doesn't have all the morale and cultural issues that laying off people does.
Seasonal industries and companies have used that for years, retail. I mean, depending upon where I worked, if it was garden season or Christmas, holiday season, you would hire, you know, for one retail store 150 people, and then you would keep the top maybe seven or eight at the end of the season and just know that they knew that they were only there for 90 days.
Yeah, but I do think you guys are speaking of, like, this need for global elasticity. I think that's definitely a core requirement. However, I think the actual laborers, the workers themselves, are ill-prepared to market
for sure
themselves and avail potential contractors, potential statements of work to actually be secured. And therefore, you know, I think we'll see a change in staffing agencies potentially. We'll need to see these new group purchasing organizations that are an assemblage of all these contingent workers that can actually proxy their skill set, can inventory and proxy them. Much like maybe job boards have in the past, but
like
we haven't seen.
You
need an agent.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, this free agency thing is real.
Or go macro again.
Sure.
Or our education system teaches kids in school how to do self-assessment, how to understand what they like and what they don't like, how to do be a lifelong learner, how to be a consumer of learning so that they keep their skills current, applicable, ready to be applied in the economy, and how to market themselves.
Yeah.
That is so optimistic, China.
Oh no, I'm not saying it could ever happen, but I've been involved in some conversations in Washington with think tank leaders and government, you know, Department of Education and Department of Labor people, SHRM, elected representatives, having just that exact kind of conversation. And
I just don't see my college professor in Birkenstock, you know, he might be okay with that lifestyle.
I'm talking kindergarten, third grade, fourth
grade. Well, we got a lot
to
go. My daughter might like that environment. She kind of lives in that kind of
world. I know, we're going to send all of our kids to Montessori schools? Like, seriously, though, public education is set up to teach kids to be compliant.
Let's have Maren Hogan just open up a
directly
school
or indirectly.
And our children there. I mean, she does she has been doing this homeschooling thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause the show for a second. Wow, that's interesting. You made me think of something. Yesterday here, and I'm going to tie it back to HR Southwest, because that's where we're here, broadcasting live from HR Southwest is Fort Worth have a nickname? City of Fort Worth have a nickname? Cowtown, I love that. Yesterday in the verbal judo session I was in, the instructor, who was a really interesting guy, he talked about the idea of using sort of verbal tactics to term what he called to generate voluntary compliance. That was the goal of verbal judo, to generate voluntary compliance. So we all kind of took that as, yeah, that's the goal. I'm gonna make you comply, but I'm going to make you do it. You're going to volunteer to do it. So it's not really the same thing at the school. But
well, that called manipulation.
Also on a more verbal
I would say that I like HR Southwest. It's great. And the type of learning that occurs at HR Southwest is like how we are taught to learn in education now. Be compliant, sit in your seat, don't ask questions, absorb, walk away. And then the type of learning that we're doing at HR Evolution or through blogging is much more like what we're asking our future contingent workforce to do.
It's a new workforce.
So how do we introduce that exploratory learning into children, but also into adults.
You know, it's a funny thing. After today's session that Trish McFarland and Jason Seiden did, we were sort of did a debrief about the session a little bit, and we sort of talking about the expectations of the audience, our general perceptions of their sort of expertise and their interest level in some of the topics, and you know the assessment of the group. We had different opinions about that. And I'm thinking about it in the education perspective. So I teach this class in HR technology, graduate class up at RIT, and over time I've adapted the class quite a bit. When I first started teaching it, I didn't really know what I was doing completely. So now I'm sort of hardly knowing what I'm doing. But at the beginning I had a faculty advisor who was great. She described to me how you lay out a course. Here's how you do it. Here's how you architect the sort of the lesson plan. Here's how you do the assignments. Here's how you sort of grade them. It's very as you'd expect. There will be papers to write for so many points. There will be a task for so many other points, research paper, and on and on and on. And over time, I've sort of dropped out lots of those required assignments and made assignments that are more like, well, tell me what you're interested in. Let me know what you're going to do, and we'll figure out later on how we grade that paper or assignment or presentation or whatever format you give in. I don't even like to tell them what format to turn in their assignment either. And I get fight back so hard on that every single semester, not from every student, but more students are way more uncomfortable with that than the other.
To deal with ambiguity.
And I agree, Franny, you're 100% right. And that's a tough sell to make, even at the level I'm teaching at, which is graduate education, with people who already have professional jobs and theoretically have their own interests to explore.
I mean, I work with those people every day, and when you're a consultant, you have so much more credibility. You don't have to fight that whole, they want you to come in and be creative. That's what they're paying you to do. Versus when you're in the company as a regular full-time employee, I mean, everybody just kind of wants to be status quo. And when you shake things up, you're labeled a troublemaker. It's different.
Do you think the same thing happens in school, too?
Yeah, sure.
No, but I'll say, I mean, if you want to take the school analogy further, the kids that were always disruptive don't get in trouble. In other words, we train this behavior. So if you were the kid that was always making noise and raucous and got away with it, it was when the good kid made noise and was raucous that they didn't get away with it. So we're training these behaviors. We're training our presenters to want to stand up there and do PowerPoint presentations.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of reinforcing this behavior. So it's going to have to get really uncomfortable before we get comfortable again.
It does make me uncomfortable to give a PowerPoint presentation. I prefer to do it without slides anymore, so that way just it can kind of flow. But, you know, I'm trying to sell my company and my consulting, so I have to have a little bit of normalcy to what I'm doing so that I can stay in business and afford that.
And people want you to be the expert, frankly.
Yeah.
A lot of people really want somebody that they can go, oh, that person has this subject handled. I can learn everything. I can absorb all that information from them.
Do me.
Yes.
Do me.
But you know, actually, just now I went and I had lunch with a bunch of attendees. And during the lunch, I asked them, you know, why are you here? And they said, get HRCI credit. I'm here to make sure that what I'm doing is correct. I'm here as a break from work. And I said, there were eight of them. And I said, okay, so if you were going to learn from each other, what do you think you would want to learn? And they all said, oh, I would want to know more about the practicalities of day-to-day HR work. And I said, great. Which one of you would be interested in teaching that? And all of them were like, oh, I don't have that handled. I don't, you know, I would be embarrassed. I don't know enough to do that. And these are people, you know, with probably a combined 50 years of HR experience, but they all had this mindset of, I'm not the expert, therefore I have nothing to contribute, which I think is a mindset that is getting us in trouble as a country, and it's certainly a mindset that's getting us in trouble in HR, because we think we secretly, many HR people think they have nothing to contribute to the company. Nothing is further from the truth.
Absolutely. They can be a leader in the organization.
Right.
And a voice in a lot of different areas.
But you can't, in our sort of doing more with less construct, you can't be an expert in everything in HR today.
No, you simply cannot.
So anyone who claims that they know everything about every major and minor HR function is blowing sunshine up your skirt. I mean, it's one of these things.
But you can know enough.
Well, you do know enough, but you also need to be smart enough to know when you need to tap the expertise of other people. Yeah. And I'm not
and
even
how,
talking...
And where it is. Where does it live?
Where does it live in the ecosystem?
So, you know, let's circle back to the doing more with less sort of idea, right? And we talked a lot about contingent workers and contractors and project management, more agile organizations. And, you know, I wonder if perhaps some of the disconnect we're making in events like this and in sessions that we're in today of connecting sort of the value and the power of this community and the community that we're sort of playing around in to sort of improve or make things more efficient. And maybe that's where we're missing out. Like, are we making that connection well enough? Like, we're saying, you as an HR professional, you're stressed, you're overwhelmed, you're understaffed, your organization is changing all around you. Here are some tools, some strategies, some approaches that will help you manage all of that. Maybe we're missing that connection. And we're just, it's seeming like, oh, we get to go to conferences and tweet and blog, and it just doesn't, that we're not driving the point home well enough. Is that fair to say? Like, why are we not connecting to make that point? Or is the point not valid at all?
No, I think it's a valid point. I think that the reason we're not connecting is I don't know if people really desire that connectivity. I don't think we're ready. I mean, honestly, I think most people are running the standstill.
Definitely.
They are absolutely fighting for their lives. So when I hear Franny talking to HR practitioners that came here for a break,
mm-hmm.
That's actually not surprising to me.
No.
The idea to actually take a breath and sit and listen and not be forced to have the answer
mm-hmm.
and not be forced to actively participate
and possibly even learn something.
Right. If you accidentally pick something up along the way, terrific. I think that's got to be a tremendous relief to people who are on their heels 24/7.
Yeah. We're definitely not connecting from the standpoint of procurement has shows, trade shows, conferences. Contingent workforce management has shows. There's about four different contingent trade shows and conferences, and HR has shows. in the future, we should probably have those shows together.
I think that'd be great.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I was sort of wondering, like, at shows like this, I wonder if it would be appropriate to begin to bridge those two worlds, the world of, I guess I would call interactive learning with the world of HRCI credits by having a side and conference as a part of these regional HR conferences. So then, you know, you advertise it ahead of time, you really let people know what it is, you have to get at least one volunteer on your team or they're going to just absolutely get do everything they can to get rid of it because they can't control it. But if you could get one or two people who are volunteers who are really excited about it.
Illinois Sherm is doing that in 2011.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
They are. So I think you'll see more of that.
But I think it'll take like 3 or 4 years for it to get traction at each of them, but then eventually those may end up.
I think you're going to see it next year at both the state level conferences. I think you're also going to see it at the national conferences.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's going to be incorporated in.
And then I wonder if there's also a piece of beginning to invite or request attendance by purchasing, by not just by people who really know what they're talking about with regard to what we're talking with regard to this idea of an ebb and flow workforce, not just the Kelly services is downstairs in the vendor booth.
But you guys are touching on pre-work. I mean, in today's economy, for someone to have the luxury of coming to a conference like this, have their T&E paid, have their ticket paid, if you're not coming with a very specific purpose and coming back with explicit findings on why you spent precious capital,
right,
both time and money, you're missing this opportunity. And I suspect the people that are, you know, the stampede, as I've called it, you know, the people running around trying to get their stupid bingo card stamped,
right,
if that's a disproportionate share of their experience, you are absolutely missing a terrific opportunity. And it breaks my heart, honestly. It really does.
Right.
Yeah, so everything is changing. Everything is getting harder, but our reaction to it, to many instances, is the same as it's always been, right?
Right.
Go get your card stamped and
win your prize.
Collect up some cool things. Hey, let's do a quick reset. This is HR Happy Hour from the HR Southwest Conference. We are my switchboard apparently has frozen up over here, so I don't know exactly how many minutes are left in the show. Looks like about 15 or so. So bear with us if you're calling in. We'll get to your calls in a second. We may need to refresh here. He's Sidon, right? I'm going to blame him. He's last. Yeah, Sidon's Mac here. This fancy Mac we've got here is completely locked up on me. So call-in number is 646-378-1086. We're talking about lots of different things, so I'm not even going to try to attempt to summarize in a short phrase what we are talking about. But it's fun. China Gorman is here, Mark Stelzner, William Tencup, Chris Ponder, Jessica Miller-Merrill, Trish McFarland. Franny Oxford is retreated to the nether regions of the conference room.
She doesn't want to seat at the table.
Yeah, no, she's back on.
She's busy talking to her
She did a George Costanza move, right? I said, you're 100% right, Franny. She's, that's it. I'm out. Thank you. So so we talked about contingent. We talked about, you know, sort of education and how that needs to change. But what about some just straightforward, simple things, productivity things, technology things? I mean, are there things that just low-hanging fruit that maybe you've seen in your personal life that, hey, if more organizations just did this, their lives would be a lot easier, or at least somewhat easier? Anything? Any advice? Or you're saving that for next presentation? Now you don't want to tell our radio audience.
I've already talked productivity for you today.
I would say it's not do this, it's don't do that.
Say no?
Just say no. Just say this is really not all that important.
Yeah.
I do believe that every employee can prioritize their work. You just prioritize your work. You tell your boss, here's what I think is most important in helping us achieve profitability, and here's a bunch of crap that you make me do, the TPS report, just to cover your own ass.
Well done.
I think same thing organizationally.
I think sometimes that HR gets seen as kind of a doorway, and like in brainstorming they say every idea is a good idea. Mm-hmm. It's not true. And I think HR, if we were to teach a class on how to say no, how to be effective in prioritizing ideas that come to you, and how to say no to certain things, I think that would probably create the most change in HR.
I think I just have learned that recently, and I made a public statement to the world that I'm going to say no. And employees maybe
need to have a relationship with their manager where they need to sit down and be able to say, look, I've got this many things. I mean, I will tell you that where I was working before, they learned the hard way. They hired like 5 extra people after me and 2 of my team left. And so it was either sink or swim for them. So they had no idea what we were doing because I couldn't say no.
I think a powerful tool, if you're looking for a tool in that, is as an employee, ask the manager, tell me how you would do this. So you've asked me to do these 15 things, and I have 40X hours in a week. You tell me how to get this done. And I think HR can do something similar when they say, you've given me 22 initiatives to do this quarter. And oh, by the way, here's all the other things that I have to get done in a given week. You tell me how this all gets done.
I have a whiteboard on my desk. I mean, on my wall. Had it since I was probably 23 years old. I've been doing something like this, where I prioritize my work. What is going to get me the most bang, the organization, the most bang for my buck, all the way down to everything else. Because in HR, we always have multiple stakeholders who are convinced that they are the only person you have to please. So when somebody comes in, I just say, and they, like, every time I break in, every time I start a new job, I have to kind of break everybody in into my little 7 habits quadrant thing. And then, so then when somebody comes in, I say, I would love to do that for you.
Sure.
Tell me, is this more important or less important than these things?
You make them.
And how is this going to help us move the organization forward, or is this something that would be nice to do?
Yeah, because you'll filter out a bunch of drive time ideas where people had an idea for HR.
Yeah.
You know, operations had an idea.
A lot of great ideas
on the way home from work, and then all of a sudden they want to drop those ideas off. And most HR people do not have a filter or a system behind that in which to say, yeah, let's talk a little bit about your idea. First of all, let's explore it. Let's not kill it. Let's explore it. And then you tell me in the ecosystem of all these other ideas, what do I need to deprioritize?
William Franny, thank you much for that. Mark manning the switchboard now. We've punted from Sidon's laptop, and we're about to punt the laptop in a second. Mark manning the switchboard. Mark, we have a caller we'd like to put up.
Yep, area code 518. You are live on HR Happy Hour.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. It's Mark Moscoto calling in. How are you?
Mark, hello. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. I've wanted to, like, jump in and call about a half dozen times over the past hour. These are great topics. And I also love the fact that this is a radio show where we can reference TPS reports and absolutely everyone knows what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who's got my red stapler, by the way? So, Mark, what's up? You've got a take on this, and you also had an announcement that we wanted to make on the show as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just a quick observation is the whole discussion and the whole topic about, you know, doing more with less and how it ties into, you know, DOL productivity reports. I think that this is a topic that has maybe been swirling around our circles for quite a while, but it's starting to enter the mainstream too. I mean, just even within our organization, I've had probably 3 or 4 discussions with media outlets over the past 2 weeks, and, you know, 1 or 2 of them being mainstream media, where this is really elevating to the point where, you know, everyone's starting to cue in on this, that, you know, ultimately doing more with less is an unsustainable model. So, you know, we've been doing some studies and reports on it, and you know, this certainly isn't a product pitch, but we've got a study that we put out, and over 80% of the HR pros that we surveyed said that employee stress is at a level now that's higher than it's ever been. So, you know, I think that the more we get into forums like this, the more we talk about it, the more we, you know, try to creatively think our way through it and some of the new models that are emerging, contingent and everything else, the more we're going to be able to elevate our game and elevate the organizations that we serve. It's something that we can't not discuss. It's something that we need to hit head on, and it's just great to hear these types of topics being kicked around.
That's awesome, Mark. And I know, you know, one of the things you and I have talked about, and many of us, is we don't give thanks to human resources enough. I mean, HR is busting its butt every single day. I think this crowd is the first to bring the hammer down on all the things that HR does wrong or could do better, that they're missing these opportunities. But I don't think we often turn it around and just say thank you. And with that lead-in, I think you guys had an important announcement to make today.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we like to do is we always like to highlight the success stories as well. So not just within our own client base, but HR is out there making a difference every day. And, you know, it doesn't have to be these great magnanimous gestures. There's just in little ways every day HR pros are helping to make a difference within the lives of the employees of the companies they serve. And, you know, especially as we're coming to a time where pressures are high, organizations are stretched thin, it's just sometimes those little extra things that can foster a greater sense of loyalty, that can help employees, you know, to be able to kind of bear the load a little bit better. So one of the things we would really like to do is we're announcing a competition. If you go to workforcesoftware.com/HRthanks, we want to start capturing some of these stories. So the folks that are tuning into this show will be tweeting about it. We already have a blog post up about it. But, you know, we want to hear about how HR pros or HR organizations are making a difference within the companies they serve. So come to our website. Give us a brief story about what's going on in your organization, how have some HR pros changed your life, what are the differences they're making. And we're going to run this contest through the November 8th. We're going to pick the top 5 responses as judged by some of the folks, some of our friends that are on this call right now from Voice of HR and Steve and folks at Workforce Software. And we'll read those 5 stories out on the November 11th HR Happy Hour broadcast. And we'll pick the winner. And, you know, Mark, I think you made the comment about, you know, tchotchkes and trinkets on the show floor. You know, rather than give away gift certificates or tchotchkes or things like that, we're going to make a $250 donation in the name of the winning entry in the charity of their choice. So, you know, it's just a little way that we can help to make a difference, too. So, again, URL is workforcesoftware.com/HRthanks, and I really encourage everyone who's tuning in to tell us some of those stories. They're important to get out there.
Mark, thank you for that. You know, and I just will say, you know, as we look at these stories, I'm very partial to stories that mention how great this show has been and in helping their own sort of learning and connecting. So if anyone actually wants to submit a story like that, at least for me, we'll get pretty high marks. So just keep that in mind.
Man, I forgot to mention that judges are ineligible. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. What a buzz.
I don't want to win anything. I just want to influence, right? I just want to be like, what are those guys out in the Pacific Northwest, those tribes, right? They sort of amass all their weapons and they just give it all away, right? And that's how they can maintain their status, giving away everything.
Well, what you have is what you give away.
Potlatch. That's it. Thank you, Franny.
Yeah.
Potlatch.
There's a college major, baby.
Oh my God.
Cultural? Really?
Yeah. You are too?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know, guys.
And Chris, you know, he was an HR writer. He also is one.
Wow, that's fantastic. You guys should, like, make a little clan or tribe or something. That's really cool.
Let's think about that.
Fantastic. Mark, hang with us. Mark from Workforce, hang with us as well. Mark Stelzner, if there's anybody else on the line, we have a couple more minutes left in the show. We can bring up if anyone else wants to get on board.
Sure, let's do area code 815. You are live on HR Happy Hour.
Hey, Mark. John Jorgensen.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
So wishing you guys had the same capability that RecruitFest have. I'd love to be watching this in addition to listening to it.
We do not have big sponsor dollars like that.
Capabilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve needs to work on that. Actually, I just was jumping in a while ago when we were talking about conferences and why they are the way they are. And, you know, I know a lot of us on this call and in that room aren't the ones at the conferences looking for the HRCI credits, but that's still a huge part of conferences that people who go to the conferences are demanding that they be able to come for 2 or 3 days.
I don't think
days.
You can change that, at least not in the short term. Right?
No.
I mean, maybe you shouldn't.
You're responding to a need of your audience, and I think it's a core requirement. I guess at some point, though, when you say we're willing to have sessions that aren't HRCI credits, for the sake of good content and good conversation, and start to put that into the mix of the plenary and the planning, I think that would probably go a long way to start switching the conversation perhaps a little bit as well.
and maybe even possibly working to get those conversations HR certified.
Certified, good point.
Right, if they're valuable, why not, right? If they're important?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
well,
that's
thanks,
a great
John.
Point, John.
Yeah, you want to take
another
call?
That's the question you need to ask HRCI.
Right.
Well, let's get them on the horn. Conference them in, John, and we'll address this right now. We'll get this wrapped up.
They're here, right? We should go down there and talk to them and see if they'll come on the show.
Yeah.
I thought there was a booth here for HRCI.
All right. We'll go with that.
All right. Mark, we got another caller?
Yep. Area code 517. You are also live on HR Happy Hour.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Sackett.
Hey, Sackett.
Jimmy. Tim, leaving in about an hour and a half, so will you have my car? Hold around.
That's why I was calling, Steve. It's going to be a little bit late, and it's over in parking lot 8, so just go over there. Now, anyways, I think it was Tim Cup, which I'm shocked that he actually said this, but he said he actually gave some advice to, like, HR pros that they should go into their manager, their director, their executive office and say, please tell me how to do my job in terms of how to get things done. You tell me how to get these 21 priorities done. And I'm sitting here, you know, I was actually doing some work, listening to the show, going, oh, my God, he did not just say that, because as soon as my HR director came in and said that, I would say, hold on a second, let me show you to the front door.
I think it's a lot to do with, like, Franny has a system to force prioritization, and I think really what I believe most HR people have going on is that they just have too much stuff, and it's cloudy as to what should be prioritized. So the discussion with your boss in that situation is more of a, hey, I know we can get a lot of good stuff done, and I know that we can add a lot of value. Let's take a look at the 15,000 things on the table, and how do we prioritize the things that are most important to you, boss, and also to the company, et cetera. So it wasn't as much of, hey, I'm completely vulnerable, I'm naked, and I'm an idiot, and I don't know how to do my job.
Not completely that.
Not in that order.
Just naked.
Yeah. But, you know,
I think that helps clarify it for sure.
Hey, Tim, is there such a thing as a stupid question?
No, there's only stupid people who ask questions.
Sending things. All right.
Well,
that's awesome. Tim knew the line. He had it for me. He pitched in, swing, softball served up, and hit out of the park. So awesome. Hey, Tim, thanks. Thanks for listening in today as well.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Tim.
Hey, all right. Let's. I think we're in wind-down mode, right? I mean, I feel like we are. We were all over the map on this show. It was great. It was a great conversation. I think, to me, many times when we do these shows, we have a pretty structured kind of format. We have a guest. We actually have questions prepped in advance, and some of those shows are pretty good, I think. But I also think there's a lot of room in just for having the conversation. And hopefully everyone around the table enjoyed it, the folks who are listening enjoyed it. And, you know, yeah, I encourage you to share it around with your friends and colleagues as well. Because I think, honestly, as William said, I think there's some good stuff happening in venues like this and many others that are not getting surfaced enough, perhaps, in the larger sort of formal mechanisms. And, you know, if we believe in it, we'll help to push that message out there as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so thanks, everyone. Real quick, Franny Oxford, China Gorman, Mark Stelzner, William Tinkup, Chris Ponder, Jessica Miller-Merrill, Trish McFarland, Side and his left, I guess we'll still thank him. This is Steve Bowes, of course. Shauna, we missed you today. Sorry you couldn't make it. Shauna's out there working for a living. The rest of us are sitting around a table doing nothing, so she's propping up the economy while we're goofing around. So,
thanks,
I just want to say, you want to thank Shauna for this Thursday. The women of HR are back on the HR Happy Hour, back at our normal scheduled time, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So Shauna will be driving the bus for the Women of HR show, Women of HR Part 2. Trish, some of the other women of HR are coming on, hope.
It's a little bit different show. So the first time it was really focused on, more Shauna and Lisa Rosendahl and I. And so this time you'll be hearing with some of the actual people who are blogging and collaborating with us, who may not be bloggers in real life, but they are certainly doing this on a sort of a one-off basis every now and then, and we're going to get their take on it and how they're enjoying it. So
that's going to be a great show. The week after that, Fistful of Talent Radio comes back. Sackett, hopefully, will be back on the show. And after that, HR Horror Stories Part 2. So that's it, and lots of good things to come the rest of the year. Thanks so much for the HR Happy Hour. Thanks to our sponsor, Acquire. Thanks to Workforce Software for pitching in with that cool contest. Thanks to HR Southwest for having us here for the last 2 days. And thanks to everybody who listened from the HR Happy Hour. And that's it. We're out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HR Happy Hour, sponsored by Acquire.
a leading provider of workforce planning and analytics solutions and enthusiastic proponent of free stuff. Go to aqure.com/downloads for free software trials, free webinars, free podcasts, free case studies, and more. Did we mention it's all free? Acquire.com/downloads. Who doesn't like freebies?